Would you please turn with me now to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And God willing, I'd like to lead you in two meditations on this chapter today. We're going to be looking this morning particularly at verses 5 down through 7. And then this evening, God willing, we'll be looking more at verses 8 through 10. So let's read the chapter together. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, brethren, the Apostle John, the disciple who had that special relationship with the Lord Jesus, of whom it said that the Lord loved him. He gives us this beautiful chapter, indeed the whole book, as a description, I believe, of how it is possible for us sinners to have fellowship with the living God. And so you read here in chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that's concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the true Son of God who has become flesh, to save sinners and to bring them back into fellowship with God. So that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Notice that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. There's this amazing fellowship, communion, friendship with communication that takes place between God and his children in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle tells us in verse 4 that these things are written unto us that our joy might be full. So there's a very blessed purpose that he has in mind here as he deals with the realities of our life in relation to God. It is so that our joy, which we have as Christians, but sometimes is greatly troubled, can be full, that the experience of it might be increased and the delight of it might increase along with it. So that's the purpose. And in order to do that, the Apostle John is going to deal with some very searching truths. He's going to show us what's necessary for that fellowship to really take place so that our joy might be full. Okay? So there are things that need to be dealt with in all Christians' lives so that the joy might be full. Okay, so let me give you, by way of an introduction to an understanding of verses 5 through 7, an illustration. It is said that a picture paints a thousand words, and I want to paint a word picture which I hope doesn't take a thousand words. But sometimes an illustration can do so much more than a detailed theological introduction. So let me do this for you. I want to tell you a brief story. Now, don't despair. I'm certainly coming back to the Word of God, but I want to introduce it through this means. Now, brethren, I observed one day that your Heavenly Father decided to show you what he sees in you that obstructs your fellowship with him. So he took the floodlight of his holiness, which is brighter than a thousand suns, and he shone it upon you and your life. He shone it into your heart, where your deepest desires and your motives are hiding. He shone it into your mind, where those thoughts that you would never speak aloud are hidden away. He shone it into your affections, your desires, where you've been hiding that bosom sin that gives you pleasure, but that you would never want anyone else to know about. He shone it into your will as you were choosing those things that make up your life day by day, choosing to speak those words, choosing to act and to respond in the way that you have. He shone it on every word and every action you performed, and he showed you what it was like in comparison to his holiness. His light, you see, shone into your heart, was dispelling the darkness. It was driving out the faintest shadow. Every sinful desire, every habit, every word, every work was revealed. Every shameful thing that you've been hiding and not wanting to face was exposed. Every hiding place to which you had resorted was removed. And your mind, I could see as I looked down, was rushing this way and that way and trying to work out, what should you do? How should you deal with this frightening reality? How will you deal with it while the light shines? Because the light is not going to go out. Should you try and find a shadow in which to hide? Should you find some way of shielding yourself from the light? Or should you face up to the reality of exactly what the light of God's holiness shows in your life? And I could see, as you were grappling with this, that you were struggling and you were asking, dare I confess my reality? Must I give up my self-deception completely in order to be a Christian? Must I open myself up so to the light that I have to cast myself irrevocably on the mercy of God alone as a sinner? Must I own up to everything before God? And I could see that you were thinking, how can I face God? How can I lessen the light to find some relief? Must I indeed become so completely vulnerable? So completely vulnerable that I have to trust God completely to accept me as a sinner through Jesus Christ with all this? And then I heard what the Father said to you through his apostle. He said, listen carefully, my beloved child, to the message that I have sent you. And here it is. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is us with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what John, I believe, is really getting at. There is this tremendous implication to the Christian life that God brings us into fellowship, not with just some notional concept of a higher being, but with a personal God who is light, unapproachable for sinners. And he says, now come into my light and walk with me. This is the only way that the fellowship can be full and the joy can be full. And so that's what I want to look at with you this morning. The fellowship of light. We see in the first place the God who is purest light. And then we'll see how he turns his spotlight on. And then we'll see his gracious assurance that enables us to continue to walk in that light with him. So first of all, the God who is pure light. The apostle says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now, of course, that's a metaphor, isn't it? He's comparing God to light. Or better still, God is comparing himself to light, because he's given light certain qualities that reveal something of what he is like to us as his creatures. And the apostle puts it this way. Positively, God is light. And if you read in the context of this verse, for example, in the latter part of verse 7, it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's very important. And if you look in chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, and this is the purpose of it all, that you sin not. Now, as you bring that into connection with this marvellous declaration that God is light, what that shows us is that the truth that God is light is held over against the darkness of sin. And as you think that through biblically, you can understand that the light which is referred to is God's holiness. God is holiness. Sin is darkness. And we must walk in the light with the holy God. That's what John is really saying. Well, divine holiness is as invisible and as clean and pure, yet as real and diffusive as the light from the sun. Just like the sun lights up the world and drives out the darkness, so holiness lights up our life and drives out the darkness of sin. God is holiness, and that is something that we're going to have to grapple with as we go on. But the apostle also says negatively, in him there is no darkness at all. And that's actually a double negative. He puts it this way. Darkness in God? No. Not at all. So it's most emphatic. God is in no way like us in this regard. You and I are most definitely, as born-again Christians, having the new man and struggling with the old man, we are both light and darkness. And there's all manner of confused grayness in us. But the apostle is saying to us, God is not like that. The God with whom you have fellowship is not like you in this regard. In God there is no darkness, no, not at all. So do not entertain for a moment the thought that you can have fellowship with God and say to him, God, you must compromise your holiness in order to have fellowship with me. That's what John's getting at. God is light, an absolute statement. God is absolutely, unconditionally, unqualified light. And in him there's no darkness, no, not at all. That's our God. So So God's holiness is such that it's utterly and completely dispelling the darkness. God's holiness is essential. It's moral perfection. God is such that it is impossible for him, utterly impossible for him, ever to compromise with the darkness of sin. He is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and that God is our Heavenly Father. So let's have this clear in our minds. There is to be no thinking that God will relax his impeccable holiness in order to fellowship with you. There will be no compromise of God's own nature in order to fellowship with you. There will be no overlooking of the darkness that is in you. There will be no tolerating of degrees of imperfection. There will be no shades of grey. There will be no shadows of darkness. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And if we would have fellowship with him, we must walk in the light as he is in the light. Get the picture? That's very sobering, isn't it? That's solemn. That's not something you can just give a nod and a wink to. That is something must be taken very, very seriously. So holiness as light is the concept that John is bringing out here. But more than that, holiness as light is in fact the light of truth. And God deals only, you see, in reality. What is real, what is true, spiritually and morally, is what holiness reveals. So here we need to think about the light as it is touching upon us, as God puts forth or radiates forth his holiness into our lives and fellowships with us. What does his holiness do? Well, it dispels the darkness, it dissolves the shadows. All those places in which darkness and the works of darkness can hide are completely obliterated. God's holiness is the revealer of reality. And God's holiness, you could say, is in fact ultimate openness in reality. Just think about that. God's light is turned on, comes into our life, and it opens our life up in the light of his holiness, and he shows exactly what is true, really true, concerning us, morally, spiritually, not just the external actions, but right into our hearts, so that there is no darkness left at all, no place for any sin to lurk or to hide. That's the light. God is light, and we are going to have fellowship with him. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, all things are reproved, that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Did you catch that? All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So John would have a start there. This is the very first thing that Christians need to understand about their fellowship with God. God is light. God is light. That is going to cast a certain quality, character, into the fellowship we have with him. It is going to be fellowship in holiness and fellowship in absolute truth and reality. Nothing less. So are we all clear on that? How are we going? Following? Everyone with me so far? So that's the first thing. And then we go on from that. How does God display that light to us as Christians so that it comes forth with all its tremendous cleansing power into our life? Well, God displays that light, brethren, when he sends forth his Son to shine like the light in the darkness. And that light shines, you could say, from the cross, from the redemptive work, from the work of atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who is light comes into our darkness in the person of the Son. And he comes to deliver us, doesn't he, from the kingdom of darkness, from the prince of the power of the air, from satanic darkness, from sin and its bondage. Because we have to acknowledge we are darkness, don't we, by ourselves. In ourselves, by nature, we have darkness. We're slaves to Satan. Darkness has deceived us. We're desperately wicked in our hearts. We cannot trust ourselves. Our works by nature are the works of darkness. Our end is to be cast into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We are by nature in the dark. And if we were left to our darkness, we'd hide ourselves from the light. We'd be like cockroaches. You probably haven't in Singapore, but where I come from, we have all sorts of stuff laying about. And I had a farm, and on my farm I had pieces of building equipment, and there was one particular time I remember there was a sheet of roofing iron that was laid on the ground, corrugated roofing iron, laid on the ground for a period of months, and I went to use it. I thought I needed to use it, and I picked it up in the middle of the day, and as I lifted it up I saw that there were many cockroaches under it. And when I lifted it up, you know what those cockroaches did? They all fled from the light, and they went every which way, as quick as they possibly could, through the grass, into more cover. And that's what it's like for sinners. We are creatures of the darkness by nature. And when God lifts up our cover, we flee from the light, as the Lord tells us in John chapter 3, if you read through that chapter. So that's what we're like by nature. Now, God sends Jesus Christ into the world to dispel the darkness and to make it possible for us to live in the light. And so he comes forth and he says as he comes, I am come into the world, I have come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Isn't that marvellous? Listen to it again. I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not live in the darkness. That's you as a Christian, isn't it? So he comes to save us. He comes in order to save us. So the light must be brought into conflict with the darkness. He must enter into our darkness, even into the recesses where guilty fear crouches and corruption festers and shame cringes away, even into that outer darkness that will torment men's souls. And that's the conflict between the light and the darkness that takes place on the cross. He who is light, God, become flesh, takes our darkness upon himself, all our sin and our guilt and our shame and all that turning away of God's face against him. He takes our wretched darkness upon himself. He enters into its power, the power of darkness, to smother under the horrors of darkness. He enters, you could say, into the very gloom of hell itself. But in that darkness, the light shines. How does it shine? The light shines in this manner. Jesus Christ, as he is swallowed up under the wrath and curse of God, does not cry out for a mitigation of holiness. He does not say to God, let your holiness become a little less holy so that I may be delivered from this wrath and curse. He does not do it. He does not say to God, may your righteousness become a little less righteous so that I might escape from this torment that is due to my people's sins. He doesn't do it. He takes it to himself. He doesn't shrink away. With an open heart, he embraces everything that belongs to the darkness as its curse, and he soaks it up and he takes it away. So that it is possible then for sinners who are creatures of darkness, through that redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross, to be brought out of the darkness and out of the curse and out of the shame and out of the alienation from God and out of the fear and out of the cringing into the light, to live with God. That's what Christ has done on the cross. He has made it possible for sinners like you and me to come out of the darkness and to deal with God in open-hearted reality. And nothing less than that is what Christianity is all about. What more could the Father, what more could the Son have ever done to show us that God is light? That there is in him no darkness at all. What more could God do to show you that fellowship with him requires that you walk in the same light of holiness? Now that's the message of the cross of Jesus Christ when it comes to the light. Now God turns the spotlight on. In light of the great eradication of darkness that takes place in the cross of Jesus Christ, John says this: if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Can you understand why that is absolutely necessarily true now? It is impossible to believe in Jesus Christ with any understanding of what he's done on the cross in relation to light and darkness, and continue to say, I can walk with God in fellowship and live in darkness. It is utterly impossible. It is a contradiction. And so John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We are deceiving ourselves. Now, walk in darkness means walking in unholiness of life. Let's be clear on that. Walking in darkness is living in the works of the flesh, yes, doing the works of darkness. But what's envisaged here, I believe, by John is not simply a blatant lie where there's a false or hypocritical profession of faith. Rather, John is addressing the children of God, isn't he? He's addressing us as we are true believers, but in this conflict with self-deceit. And the darkness is creeping in around us all the time and seeking to swallow us up. So he's addressing those who have a sincere profession of faith, and they profess to be in fellowship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet they are also hiding in the shadows. That's what he has in mind. They're avoiding the pure light of God's holiness. They're walking still in the darkness. Now, such a person is not intentionally lying. If that describes you this morning, no doubt you're not intentionally lying. You did not wish to live like a hypocrite. But because while we're professing to walk in the light, we're actually walking in the darkness, well, it's necessarily a lie. It has the character of a lie. Now, it's not true that we're walking in the light, notwithstanding that we'd like to think that that's the case. The reality for such a person is that what they say is in fact a falsehood. And their lie consists in this: not doing the truth that they confess. They say they have fellowship with God, who is light, but they walk in darkness. Well, that's a practical lie, isn't it? And one of the most debilitating things for the Christian life, one of the things that robs us of fellowship and joy, is that we walk in that practical lie. It troubles our own souls,
It will trouble the family that we're a part of. It will trouble the church. It will take away the light, the life, the joy of the Christian life. And so John is bringing this word to us and saying, brethren, this is not the way to live. Do not deceive yourself by saying, I have no sin. Do not hide in the darkness by saying, I have not sinned, as he goes on to say in the verses that follow. Because that behaviour makes God, who is light, who is even now revealing the reality of your life, to be a liar. And you know it. Now, walking in darkness is a very subtle business. Its denials and its self-deception thrive in what you could call the deeply ingrained attitudes and habits and strategies and behaviours that we have adopted throughout our life and have become our walk, our way of living. You with me? I hope no one's turned off or switched off at the moment. Try and lock back on, because this is really important. What we're saying here is that the darkness is subtle. It creeps in through those deceptions that are part of our habitual strategies and behaviours that we've adopted for life. It's just, we say to ourselves, hey, this is just the way I am. Well, bad news this morning. The way we are is often dark. And John is going to deal with that. So it's not only when one engages in some scandalous sin, or when one hides himself behind closed doors to pursue some forbidden pleasure in sin, like so many Christians are doing today, when they sneak perhaps behind a closed door and turn their computer on and allow the wickedness and the pornography and such that is out there in that dark world to come flowing into their homes and into their lives. Too many Christians are practicing the works of darkness like that behind closed doors. Or even when the Christian hides the malice that they feel in their heart toward a Christian brother or sister behind a sweet smile but sharp words. Or nurses some secret lust or passion in the heart. Well, those things are the works of darkness, but John, I think, would pursue it even further than that. What John's really saying to us is this. The darkness that separates us from the fellowship of God and from joy can be discovered in every shrinking away from complete openness, every shrinking away from honesty, every drawing back from acknowledging everything that the light reveals. That's darkness. Every attempt to denial, or to deny, or to avoid, or to minimize, every refusal to own the reality. That's darkness. Every attempt to draw a little bit of darkness around us like a cloak to cover our shame from our own mind and, we think, from God. That's darkness. Every holding back from placing yourself, as it were, naked and exposed in all your spiritual, moral reality before God, and hold yourself before His searching light and say to God, search me, try my heart. Every drawing back from that is darkness. And it's because we hide in the darkness that we desire the darkness to be just thick enough to hide us from people and from ourselves and from God. We don't want all darkness, we want some light. But we want the darkness just to be thick enough so we don't have to deal with those realities. When you sense that all is not right between you and your Father in heaven, or between you and your brother or sister on earth, and you want something to come between you and that troubling reality, that's darkness. When you want something to shield you from your conscience and hide you from the purer, clearer, more searching light of the all-knowing, all-seeing holiness. That's darkness. Every time you turn from the light to hide yourself in unreality, that's the darkness. That's why I read with you from Isaiah chapter 28 verse 15, where God's people are described as having made a covenant with death. They said, with hell we're in agreement, the overflowing scourge shall not pass through, it won't come near to us. We've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. You know, it's possible for Christians like you and me to live in an unreal dreamland, where we have our Christianity as a whole body of doctrine and truth, which we approve of with all our heart, and we know what it says. You know that what I'm saying this morning is a part of the Christian faith. Everything that I've said to you resonates with your heart as a Christian. You know it's true. And you've known it's true. And yet, you will undoubtedly have this truth and your reality over here. You will have the light shined on, and you will be hiding in all sorts of areas of your life over here in the darkness. And you will be making excuses why you can't and shouldn't at the moment bring your life into the glaring light of reality. And you will be living in a dreamland. Christians, too many Christians live in a dream world. And imagine they can have fellowship with the God who's light and walk in darkness, drawing back all the realities of their life so that they can have Christianity in a box here and life over here. That is not Christianity. There's a parody of it. John says, if we would walk with the God who is light and have fellowship with him, we must walk in the light as he is in the light. Brethren, there must be no drawing back, no cringing in the darkness, no hiding behind a little bit of self-deceit. The problem with us is that it works itself out in all sorts of practical and very destructive ways when we allow the darkness to live untroubled in our life that way. What will happen is that we'll start to avoid fellowship with the Father. We'll avoid fellowship with His Son through the means of grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll start to avoid things that shine the light into our darkness and that take away our hiding places and that make us uncomfortable. We'll do things like we'll start to absent ourselves from the means of grace, especially the preaching and the teaching that searches our hearts. I don't know how you're feeling about this sermon this morning. Is anyone feeling as though they think the pastor you'd like the pastor to move on to something a little more encouraging? If you knew there was another sermon next week just the same and you weren't really enjoying this, what would you do? We absent ourselves from the means of grace, especially those things that search our hearts. We make excuses. I'm too busy. The more important things right at the moment. I'll come back to it later. But in reality, we know that our soul is cringing back from the searching spotlight of God's truth and holiness. We'll start to avoid the people who would shine the light into our hiding places too. We'll certainly start to look twice at the minister. People who like a little bit of darkness around their life don't like ministers who search their hearts too closely. Imagine what it would have been like to stand before the Lord Jesus, like that rich young man who came to him and said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus went straight to his heart and into the darkness that resided there and said to him, "There is none good but God." And brought him to the reality that he wasn't good. Turned the light on. People start to avoid the minister. He becomes public enemy number one for someone who's hiding in the darkness. There will be times when the minister has to pick up the phone and ring 4, 5, 6, 7 times to try and even make an appointment with someone that's hiding in the darkness, because every time they hear the phone ring and they see his number come up on it, they scuttle off into the darkness and they won't even pick it up. That's what it's like at least in Australia. Probably not like that in Singapore, eh? Because he insists on dealing with their hearts. And those who are drawing back into the darkness will start to avoid brethren who would want to fellowship with them in the truth, because they're starting to hide from the truth. And they'll start even to draw back from genuine prayer. The closet will become a very barren place. Their seeking after God in personal devotions will seem like a waste land. And you'll hear them lament, "When I pray, it seems like the heaven is shut up and there is no God." They'll start to draw back then from genuine prayer, and they'll find that their personal devotions fall away almost to nothing, except a sporadic revival when the turmoil of heart gets too intense. But, and here's the point, the God who through Jesus Christ has called sinners through salvation into fellowship with himself is saying to us, come out of the darkness. Come into the light where God dwells. Come into the purest, most searching light and stand there. How can you do that? Because that's what you're called to. How can you do that? How can you bring all that is your reality that you would never like to even face or think about and have it all open before God? And by the way, this is what will make a Christian able to bear the assessment of any other human being in all openness and courage and not be troubled, because they've first come into the light to be revealed by God. How can you come into the light? You see, you have a dilemma. You need now to bear and make disclosures about everything. How will you be able to cope when you daily must own and accept personal responsibility for each and every sin and shrinking back from God? How will you bear the guilt that you already begin to feel? How will you cope with that sense of that perhaps is already creeping into your soul? Pastor, I'm feeling as if my soul is already drawing back. Already what I felt an impression of as you were speaking earlier is starting to diminish, and I'm thinking to myself, when I go home, I'm probably going to just resort back to what I was before. How is it possible to bring your life out and hold it in the light? Well, brethren, that is exactly what verse 7 is about. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's an assurance from the Holy God. Now, he's going to deal with confession of sin a bit later. We'll look at that tonight. But that's not at the moment dealing with that whole matter of repentance and confession and finding forgiveness. This is a statement of fact. This is a statement of reality. This is the great spiritual reality of a Christian's life. God has sent Jesus Christ into the world, sinners to save. And God views you as a sinner saved by grace through the blood of his Son. God has you as a work in progress in his great fatherly hands. You have been justified and therefore are right with God and have a right to enter into eternal life. You have been adopted into his family through faith alone. And as united to Jesus Christ, God is working with you and upon you in your life to sanctify you, to make you more holy through his word and spirit. And now he says to you, I know about the darkness. That's the thing. God knows about the darkness. God knows what's going on in your heart and soul. The fact you've been trying to hide it does not make any difference. God knows about the darkness.
Every time your soul draws back and cringes and makes excuses and hides behind someone else's behaviour or something like that, God knows what's going on. And he's saying to you, there is provision in the covenant, in the salvation that God has given in Jesus Christ for people exactly like us. Walk in the light. That's the reality of light. Walk in the light. Walk with God with an honest heart, sincere, but oh, so wretchedly imperfect. Walk with God with all that struggle against the habitual sins and the strategies of life. Walk with God, bringing them all into the light, owning them, acknowledging them as your reality. Walk with God, who sees them all, who knows them all better than you know them. And hear this. Hear this. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God has made provision. In that provision he has in Jesus Christ, he requires of us that we come out from the darkness and into the light and own every single thing in his presence and depend upon his promise to us that though we be imperfect, through the glorious holiness and righteousness of his Son and the salvation that he has provided, there is the possibility for sinners like us to continue to fellowship with God. We'll go on and we'll see how that will require confession of sin and there'll be forgiveness along the way. But here you need to see that God calls you to stand in this truth. We have the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. So fellowship with God in the light does require of us that we come out of the darkness. It does require that we stand in the full searchlight of God's holiness. It does require the acknowledgement of our sin and the complete dependence we have upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, we may come into the light. No matter how deeply ingrained our habits and strategies of denial may be, there's cleansing in the blood. No matter how long you've languished in your lies and cover-ups and rituals of religion, his blood is sufficient to cleanse you. No matter how guilty and wretched you've become and how you feel as though your Christian life could perhaps never be put back together again as it ought to be, that's not true. No matter how wretched you've become, no matter how much life has been squeezed out of your soul, and though you perhaps despair in the darkness sometimes, his blood is sufficient to cleanse you from all sin. No matter how unclean and shameful your life may be, no matter how profoundly you feel it even this morning, his blood is sufficient to wash you and present you faultless before the presence of God your Father. His blood is the basis for the fellowship of a sinner like you with God. Brethren, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, you won't walk in the darkness. You won't need to. You won't need to. Can you see that? You can come out into the light and you'll stand before God in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. You will be like a sinner in the Old Testament who had been brought in the arms of the high priest to stand before the Holy of Holies in that place that's sprinkled by the blood. A very imperfect sinner. Someone who's saved by grace alone. And now God is calling out into the light so that you can actually acknowledge that. It's not my works. It's not what I'm like. It's not my perfection. I stand here before God in the grace and blood of Jesus Christ alone. And here I am, in all my shameful and troubling reality, here I am. Father, I acknowledge my need of Christ. I acknowledge my dependence upon Him. I acknowledge all these things in my life, and I am resolved not to go back into the darkness and cringe there anymore. I can stand in the light because Christ is in the light, and I can stand through faith in Him, in Your very presence, and together in fellowship we will deal with all these things that are yet to be sanctified in my life. That's the Christian life. God is light, and those who would have fellowship with Him must walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Brethren, do not allow your deceitful hearts to be content with anything but that reality. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the great God of light, we stand before You here in this worship service, in that very reality that we have considered this morning. We stand under the spotlight of Your holiness. That is not open for question. That is reality. The question we face, each one of us this morning, is this: am I willing, by God's grace, to come out of my hiding places and out of all the darkness and stand in open nakedness in that light, trusting that God will be faithful and cleanse me from sin in the blood of His Son? Oh Lord, draw us out, and do not let any one of us, as we return home from this service, draw back into the darkness. Do not let the things we speak of after this service snatch the truth away like seed sown but falling on hard ground. But rather, Lord, may what is true this morning take root in our hearts and transform us from within by the power of Your grace and the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we all need this. We all need to hear the word You have given to Your church. And so, Lord, take it, drive it home to our hearts, and sanctify us. Make us more holy. Make us, Lord, so that we can glorify You and enjoy You more. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing in closing from Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Here's a song for the light. A person who does not stand in the light, cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I think ought not sing this song, really. Listen to the first words. Judge me, O God. Judge me, O God. Plead my cause against the ungodly nation. From the unjust and crafty man, O be Thou my salvation. Verse 3, I send Thy light forth and Thy truth. Let them be guides to me and bring me to Thine, what sort of hill? Holy hill, even where Thy dwellings be. You see how that psalm is speaking exactly the same truth as John, 1 John chapter 1. God is drawing us into the light and into the holy hill where we fellowship with Him. That's the song of the redeemed. Let us sing it together.